it in the majesty, so I had to look it up real quick on my phone. But isn't technology great in that way, right? Must I go, listen to this, must I go an empty-handed? Thus my dear Redeemer meet, not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him. Must I empty-handed go? The last verse says, O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day, ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while you still may. And again, some just goes right along with what we just heard in song. I've not heard that in a long time. I've heard that song before, but not in a long time. Thank you so much for that. That was stirring. And how our responsibility in giving to the Lord and giving him something. And boy, we need to have our hearts focused upon that tonight. All right, Matthew chapter 4 in the Word of God. So good to see you here on this Tuesday evening. Matthew chapter 4 in the Word of God this evening. As you're turning there, let me mention just a couple of things. I have not mentioned this yet, but there's on the back table, there's a brochure for a ministry camp. Now, I know we got a lot of good camps in this area, okay? But if anyone would be interested, it's a ministry camp hosted by Ambassador Baptist College every summer. It's called Camp Barnabas. It's specifically for those who feel, even in high school, who feel maybe that God wants them in full-time Christian service. And so they've been doing this the last several years, and I'm going to be speaking at it this summer in July. And so I think that's why they sent me brochures, because they never contacted me and said they were going to send me. So I got this huge stack of brochures in the mail. So I was like, well, I guess I need to take these and put them on my table. I think that's what they're expecting. So, but anyways, if you know of anybody that would be interested, or maybe you know you have family, maybe down south somewhere, you have a young person that maybe again loves the Lord and is thinking possibly a full-time Christian service, those brochures are on the back table. It's the week of July 18th through 22nd. And again, it's called Camp Barnabas. All the information is back there. So I just wanted to mention that in case there would be someone, you know somebody, a young person that would be interested in that. Also, I know this church is fully, fully invested and supportive of the area-wide crusade we're going to be having this fall here in the Rockford region. And I'll be doing the children's ministries for that. I'm very excited about that. I wanted to give a little update because some of you may be aware, some of you may not be aware, that there's an area-wide crusade going on right now in Indiana, in the Martinsville, Indiana area, with around 6 or 7 churches there that are getting together, and I believe they're using a fairground as well there this week. It started on Sunday night, and so they've had 2 nights. Tonight's the 3rd night. I asked Brother Miller today how things were going. He said 7 people have been saved so far, and 5 people have received assurance of salvation, had a lot of visitors each night. And so anyways, I mentioned that because that'll be going through this coming Sunday night. So please, please, if you haven't thought about it, say, oh, that's right, that was this week. Put that on your prayer list and pray for it. Pray for it tomorrow and each day through Sunday night. And I know we should want to see God work everywhere, right? And so we want God to do a special work in our country. So please pray for that. But again, and I know this church again is fully supportive. But mark down if you have not already done so. Mark down the dates for this fall, September 25th through October 2nd. Put that aside. Don't go on vacation. Stay in town. Be supportive. It's going to be a wonderful time. We're praying that God would just move in a special way. We'd see a lot of visitors, a lot of people coming to know the Lord, and our church is added to as a result of that. And so you can go on Hope for America. Is it .org or .com? I can't remember. .org, and you can find out more about that. But again, I know you guys know about that, but Brother Miller, since he said, oh, that's right, you're going to be at Heritage this week, just wanted me to mention that, put a little plug in again, and already, if that's not on your daily prayer list, put that on your daily prayer list and already be praying for a special moving of God. Okay, Matthew chapter 4, in the Word of God, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 17. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 17. The Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, or they immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other 2 brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I want you to know, I don't take lightly coming into a week of meetings and what the Lord wants me to preach. It's not just like, okay, what message? I want you to know that I pray about it and for quite a time in advance, and I really want the Spirit of God and what He knows who's going to be here. He knows the application needs to be made. And so I really believe this is the direction for us tonight. It is something, talking about witnessing, that we can never hear enough of. Because again, we have flesh, right? And we get so weak, we get so fickle, and we're often, so often, not what we ought to be. And so, again, I really believe this is the direction for us tonight, and let's pause and ask for the Lord's help. I'm speaking on this subject, faithfully fishing, faithfully fishing. And again, let's ask for the Lord's direction tonight. Father, we need you desperately. Again, you know my heart. You know I'm not just saying that, Lord. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And Lord, thank you for these faithful folks that are here tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would give encouragement, give conviction, Lord, give comfort, give just a challenge, Lord, to move further in this area. Lord, this is not going to be anything new for these folks that are here, Lord. But Father, again, wherever we're at, Spirit of God, would you point out any apathy, any indifference, and Lord, would you just set our hearts aflame once again for the souls that are around us? And Lord, may you do a deep work that will continue not just tonight, but will continue on for weeks and for months to come, Lord, in this area of witnessing. And so please, Lord, would you fill me and use me and hide me behind the cross? Lord, may you just accomplish your will this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm not a fisher. I never have been, and I probably never will be. I've gone maybe 3 times in my life, all right? Again, I grew up here in Rockford, and my dad never went fishing, and so he never took me fishing. I never got involved in it. I've gone, like I said, maybe, I was trying to think today, maybe 3 times I've gone in my life, and I've caught nothing, all right? So that probably doesn't encourage me to go out there again and to try it again. And so if you're a fisher tonight, again, no offense whatsoever. I'm glad, but you know what? That just, it doesn't appeal to me whatsoever. There's nothing in me that wants to get up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning and go drown worms. You know, I just don't want to do it. I mean, again, I have likes and I have interests that I'm sure that you wouldn't like, all right, but I'm just not a fisher. And so while I don't like, I'm not excited about, I'm not involved in physical fishing, I should be excited about and involved in spiritual fishing. Jesus said here in our text, again, it's something that's familiar to most of us tonight, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so can I say tonight, if I'm not faithfully involved in fishing for men, then I'm not where I need to be in my Christian walk. In fact, can I say tonight that if you are not faithfully fishing for men, and again, now please don't misunderstand me, I'm not asking tonight how many fish you've caught. All right? It's a sad reality that in a lot of our churches, there's a lot of people that haven't won one soul to the Lord. That's just a sad reality, okay? So I'm not even asking how many fish you've caught. I'm simply saying, are we even active in trying to cast out the net? Are we active in sharing our faith? And the truth of the matter is, can I say that if we're not active in that, hear me, you're not following Jesus. You're not following Jesus to the extent that he desires and, praise God, to the extent that he can enable you. Because again, he says, follow me and I'll make you. I'll enable you. And you, I know that you're timid. I know you're weak. I know you think that you're not smart and you can't talk to people, but I will make you. I will enable you to be a fisher of men. Again, A.T. Pearson, the Bible teacher and preacher from yesteryear, said this. He said, witnessing is the whole work of the whole church for the whole age. Amen and amen to that. Again, another preacher from yesteryear, J. Wilbur Chapman, said this. If Jesus called his disciples to be fishers of men, who gave us the right to be satisfied with making fishing tackle or pointing the way to the fishing banks instead of going ourselves to cast out the net until it is full? Again, can I understand tonight that soul winning is not just the pastor's responsibility, it's not just the deacon's responsibility, it's not just the Sunday school teachers or evangelists or missionaries, it is every believer's responsibility to be a fisher of men. Notice again in our text here that he called men who were poor and uneducated, relatively speaking. Understand, again, if you understand the Bible demographic there of the Bible days, fishermen, okay, they were very hard workers, all right? But they were considered more on the poorer side of society, and they were considered really uneducated men compared to, of course, the religious elite of the day. And so if he called and used these men, understand, surely there is no excuse for you and me not to go after souls. Again, the Bible says, maybe just jot this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Again, someone here tonight might say, "Well, Brother Will, again, I don't feel that smart, and I haven't gone to Bible college, and I don't know all the verses." Guess what? Can I say, you're a candidate for God to use. Because the Bible says that he takes the foolish things, or in comparison to what the world thinks is wise, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Again, someone else here might be here tonight, you say, "Well, again, Brother Willie, you mentioned about being feeling weak and timid, and I'm kind of an introvert, and I don't really know how to talk to people, and I just get so shy." Well, then guess what? Can I say, you're a candidate for God to use. Because the Bible says God takes the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I can understand tonight, the question is not whether or not you want to witness, whether or not you feel like it. The question is, are we going to be, are you and I, myself included, are we going to be obedient? That's the question. Are we going to be obedient? Again, we know these verses. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, one of the texts of the Great Commission, Mark 16, 15. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You say, "Well, that's what you do. You're an evangelist, and you go from town to town and state to state, and you preach God's word behind a pulpit. That's what Pastor Anderson does, and Pastor Myers, and other pastors, faithful men of God." Can I say that again, you're in a good church. You've probably heard this, all right? But the word there, preach, in the original language, is the Greek word kerusso. You know what it means? It doesn't mean standing behind a pulpit. It simply means this: to herald forth a message. To proclaim a message, to shout out a message. As we sang tonight, we've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I want you to go, I want you to declare that message, preach the gospel to every creature. Are you being obedient to the Lord in this area? Are you actively trying, to fish for men? When you wake up in the morning, are you, as I heard one preacher say, I thought this was so good, are you on soul patrol? He said, I'm on soul patrol. When I wake up in the morning, when I go to the store, when I go to the doctor's office, when I go to a Walmart or wherever it is, I'm on soul patrol. And I'm just conscious of those that are around me that need a gospel witness or a gospel charge. Are we on soul patrol? I want to give you four reasons very quickly tonight why all of us should be actively engaged in sharing our faith. All right, why should we follow the Lord in fishing for men? All right, I'm not even going to mention the first thing about, well, because it's a command. That's a given, all right? It's a command from the Lord. But I want to give you four other reasons why each of us should be actively engaged in sharing our faith. All right, number one, because the heart of our Lord. Because of the heart of our Lord. It cannot be denied, as one studies Scripture, even a casual perusal of Scripture, if you study Scripture, that the heart of our God, can I say, is ever towards people in wanting their salvation. I think I mentioned something to that effect on Sunday morning. I'm completely convinced, although God is completely just, he is completely holy and righteous in his judgment, I'm convinced he would much rather display his mercy and grace to mankind than his judgment. I believe that with all my heart. Again, here's a few verses here. Jot down Psalm 86, verse number 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. I love that verse. That God is, it just pictures God up there. And he's just so, it's like he's so eager. He wants to forgive. He wants to save. He wants to deliver people. It says he's plenteous in mercy unto all those that call upon him. I think of what God said through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11. Write that verse down. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel towards the nation of Israel. And God said, he told Ezekiel, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Do you hear the heart of God in that? God says, I have no pleasure. Turn ye. It's like he's pleading with them. I don't want to send judgment upon you. Turn ye. I have no pleasure in that. Again, I think of Micah chapter 7. I just want you to see. I'm just listening to a few verses. This is all throughout the Scripture. This is the testimony of Scripture, the heart of our God. I love Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because, praise God, he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. Again, we all know this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what? That he gave, right? That he gave his only begotten son. 1 Timothy 2:4, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Of course, we know that follows, that passage there follows the urgent supplication that Paul gives to young pastor Timothy to pray for all that are in authority, right? And he says he urges them to pray for those that are in authority, for kings and for princes. And for, of course, you remember when Paul wrote that, who was in charge? Nero, right? Someone that wasn't a friend to Christians. And then he says, why are we praying for all that are in authority? Yes, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life, but also, verse number 4, God will have all men to be saved. God loves everybody. God wants everyone to come to him. Again, we know, 2 Peter 3:9, right? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you see the heart of God? The heart of God, again, can I say, is absolute, unconditional love that longs to save and to heal and to deliver. The question is tonight, is that my heart? Is that your heart? Is my heart in tune with the heart of God? I want you to think just for a second. We won't take time to turn there because I think most of us know the story of the prophet Jonah. Brother Anderson, whenever I read Jonah, I always just, it kind of baffles my mind. Now again, you understand tonight what I'm saying. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But as a preacher, and these preachers can testify to you as well, we want to see people turn to the Lord. We want to see repentance, right? And people coming to know the Lord and God withholding his judgment. Jonah was a prophet, a preacher. He was a prophet of the Lord. We know the story, how God, when he first speaks to Jonah, Jonah flees. He goes the other way, right? We know that whole story. He's thrown overboard. The Lord prepares a great fish, swallows him. Jonah prays there in the belly of the fish, chapter 2. The Lord spits him out, or the fish spits him out at the Lord's command. And Jonah goes back the second time to Nineveh. Now, He goes into the city, the Bible says, and he preaches an 8-word message. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, this is not Bible. This is Will Geisman. I want you to understand that, all right? I can't prove this dogmatically, all right? So I don't preach it dogmatically. But this is my opinion, and I'm going to tell you why I think it in just a second, because I think there's enough in Scripture to piece this together. I'm convinced that Jonah did not preach all that God wanted him to preach. Say, well, what makes you think that? Later on, you can look at it later on in chapter 3, after Jonah preaches his message, remember what happens? The king of Nineveh, right, Nineveh, pagan, he wicked in all their practices. I mean, just unmentionable stuff, right? The king of Nineveh, he calls a fast. He says, wow, I mean, this prophet here is talking about judgment. He calls this fast, he gets people together, and he makes the statement, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but he makes the statement, who can tell if God will turn? And again, I can't remember what it says in the King James, but it basically turn and show mercy towards us and repent, change his mind about what he's going to do towards us. And every time I read that, I think to myself, Brother Myers, Jonah could have told them. Jonah, in fact, again, I'm even more convinced of this because in chapter 4, Jonah says exactly the same thing. He says, God, the reason I ran is because I knew that you were long-suffering, and I knew that you were merciful, and I knew that if these people would repent again, that you would spare your judgment. Jonah says that in chapter 4. And so I'm thinking to myself, Jonah could have said, you know, that, hey, if you guys just turn back to the Lord and start following Jehovah God, hey, he'll withhold his judgment. So again, I'm not dogmatic about that. I'm just, I think there's enough to kind of think. And I'm thinking as a preacher, I'm preaching, turn to God, and God will be merciful towards you, you know? We know the story. God is merciful to them for a period of time. We know the Bible tells us in the book of Nahum that Nineveh was eventually judged. All right? But for a period of time, God sends a reprieval, right? God withholds his judgment because pagan people, I'm not saying all of them got saved, all right? I'm simply saying that they believed what Jonah said, and they repented for a period of time. Jonah, in chapter 4, is bitter, is upset. again, I can't wrap my mind around this. I'm not perfect, and I don't have the love for souls like I need to have. But as a preacher, I'm thinking, man, I think about this area-wide crusade in the fall, and I'm thinking, I can't imagine if we had scores of people coming to know the Lord, and I'm upset because this happened. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense. What's my point tonight? Jonah, preacher of the Lord, prophet of the Lord, was not in tune with the heart of God. He wasn't. He was not in tune with God's heart. Can I say, if you're in tune with the heart of God, if his life is filling you and flowing through you, then you can't help but open your mouth and share what God's done for you. It'll become natural as you walk in the Spirit. It'll be as natural as the air that you breathe physically. If you're walking in the Spirit, it'll be just as natural to share God's love with people, everyone that you come across. Can I ask you tonight, if it's been a while since you shared your faith or since you felt an intense burden for the lost around you, then can I kindly say, you're probably not quite in tune with the heart of God as you think you are. Now again, God bless you. You're here on a Tuesday night. You're to be commended for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. But I'm not asking if you're faithful in church or if you read your Bible, if you pray. Are we actively engaged in trying to share our faith and point others to the Savior? So there's the heart of our Lord. Again, that's just, are we in tune with his heart? There's a second thing tonight, though, all right? So number one, there's the heart of our Lord. Secondly, the second reason we should be involved in fishing for men is the harvest of the lost. The harvest of the lost. Again, I hadn't looked in a while, so today I Googled population of planet Earth. What's the statistics say? And it's close to 8 billion people. 8 billion people that are on planet Earth today. Now, that's a lot of people. And I would venture to say, I don't have a statistic on this, but I would venture to say that probably well over half, have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A clear presentation. You say, yeah, well, like people like in Africa and Asia and the 1040 window and you know, yeah, definitely. And like people in Roscoe, Illinois. And Rockford, Illinois. And Pecatonica. And all around this region. There are people all around us. It's amazing to me how many people I come in contact with, and they'll have some type of church background. But you start talking about the gospel, and it's like they haven't been presented a clear presentation. They're all around us. Sometimes it bothers me. Forgive me. It bothers me when people will say something, well, brother, I'm just waiting for an opportunity. And can I kindly say, open your eyes. They're everywhere. They're everywhere around us. The harvest of the lost. Jesus said, John 4:35, listen to it, John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Don't say, well, it's at another time, or when I get more comfortable, or when I learn more Bible verses. Now again, I'm all for learning Bible verses. I'm all for the memorization of God's word, hiding God's word in our heart. We shouldn't use anything as a reason to, well, I'm not going to do this right now. Hey, when God commands it, when that's the heart of our Lord, and when God can make us and enable us, you just go out and do it. And yeah, if you haven't done it before, if you haven't or have not talked to a lot of people, you'll make some mistakes, but God will bless it if you have a heart towards him. God doesn't bless our polished personality and presentation. Now, again, I'm not saying, don't misunderstand, I'm not saying that we shouldn't use all the tools that we can to make sure that we're effectively presenting the gospel. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God blesses his word. His word. And when you sow the seed of the word of God, even though you kind of stumble through things, guess what? God's going to bless it. The Bible says that God's word does not return void. It accomplishes what he pleases, Isaiah chapter 55. Again, here's another verse. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Matthew 9, verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, this is kind of a side point, but I want to be a practical help to you, okay? Can I ask you this? Is praying for laborers for the harvest a part of your prayer list? I think a lot of Christians, we don't even think about that command. Jesus said, this is how it's always going to be. The harvest is always going to be plenteous. And in comparison to the harvest, the laborers are always going to be few. He said, pray ye that to the Lord of the harvest. All right, I feel that's the Spirit of God or the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, I don't think there's a wrong answer, okay? Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. And are you praying? Did you pray today that God would send laborers into his harvest fields? I want to give you something. God knows my heart. I'm not saying this, but this is a help to me, and so I want to be a help to you. How many continents are there? Seven. That's how I learned it anyway, all right? Who knows what they're teaching kids today? I don't know. Right? What's the planet that's not a planet anymore? Remember that came out? Was it Pluto? That's not even a planet. Whatever, all right? Who knows what they're teaching kids today? I learned that there are seven continents: North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, Antarctica. That's how I learned it in school. How many days of a week are there? Seven. You know what you can do? Every day I pray for a different continent, that God would send forth laborers into that continent. I'm just trying to help you. That's an easy way. Say, put it on your prayer list. Jesus said, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so I encourage you, if you're not doing that, I encourage you to start doing that. Because the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. These men will tell you, I don't know what the number is right now, how many churches in Illinois are without pastors. I don't know. It was a large number at one point. But everywhere I go, the same thing is true. Down at Ambassador, talking to Dr. Spencer, he gets calls every day from this state and from this state. Hey, we need more preachers. There's so many churches without pastors. The laborers are few. This is another reason to be actively engaged, actively involved in fishing for men. No, you can't reach everyone. I can't reach everyone. But we can reach someone. And all of us, this preacher included, all of us can be reaching more than we now do. Can be reaching more than we now do. Understand, you have people in your sphere of influence that I'll never meet. And vice versa. I have people in my sphere of influence that you'll never meet. Can I put it this way? It is no accident. It is no accident the doctor that you have. It is no accident the male person that you have. The hairdresser for you ladies, all right? The barber for you men. It's no accident the banker, the cashier, the same cashier that you see every time you go into that same grocery store. It's no accident the coworker. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is no accident the people that God has placed in our life and that God wants us to be salt and to be light to. Listen, God has us where we are for his specific purpose, to be salt, to be light, where he's placed us. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Pat you on the back, oh no, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How are they going to glorify him? When they're drawn to him, when they call upon Christ as their Savior. Two months ago, it was the beginning of February, I had a small procedure done. I had a hernia surgery. I have no idea where it came from. I just started having pain one day. And so now I'm making my wife lift all of our heavy suitcases as we travel. I'm joking, all right? We did for a period of time, but I have no idea where it came from. But I was starting to have some pain, and so they said, well, you got a small hernia. And they said, you could probably live with it for years, but you're a young guy, and they said, you know, more than likely, it's just going to get worse. So you're young, just take care of it right now. So I did. And that was the beginning of February. And I'll tell you what, I had a few days, just being transparent, where I had a bad attitude. I was upset. God, I don't understand this. Why do I have to? It was just a minor, it's just an outpatient procedure. But, you know, you still get a big bill. You know, it's just, why do I have to do this? And I had several days afterwards where a lot of pain in my midsection. I was not expecting that. When I hear outpatient, I think I'm good to go the next day. Not the case. I had a bad attitude. But then God, again, in the Spirit of God, bringing his conviction to my heart, just reminded me of this point. If there's no other reason than that you get to meet this doctor and talk to this doctor, and I loved the doctor that did it, young guy, or at OSF, great, just very personable, great bedside manner. And he said, if there's no other reason, this is what the Spirit of God said, if there's no other reason that you get to meet this guy and talk to him and give him a gospel witness, then that's okay. Your life's not your own will. Yes, Lord. You know, God had to bring me back down. And by the way, that's what, I had a great talk with this doctor. I gave him one of my little gospel booklets. He said, wow, you wrote this? And he was very appreciative of that. And I'm still praying for him, that God would use that in his life, because God's word doesn't return void. What am I saying? I'm saying that sometimes we don't understand why this happens. Why do I get a flat tire? Maybe to give the tow truck guy a gospel track. I don't know. I'm saying our life is not our own anymore. And so whatever happens, we just trust God, that God knows what he's doing, and we just seize the opportunity, whoever it is in front of us, to at least give him a gospel track, at least give him an opportunity at least to hear hear God's good news. You say, oh, they probably won't read it. Guess what? That's not your responsibility. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is simply to keep sowing the seed. Just sow the seed. Just give people an opportunity. The harvest of the lost. A third thing tonight. So not only the heart of our Lord, the harvest of the lost, but thirdly, can I say we ought to be involved in fishing for men because the hour is late. Because the hour is late. Again, as I kind of mentioned on Sunday, I don't know the exact time of Christ's return, but we are getting closer and closer and closer. World events are coming together. The stage is being set for both the man of sin, the Antichrist, to appear, and then the real Christ after that to return in power and glory. Again, the stage, you'd have to have your head in the sand to not understand some of the things that are taking place today. And again, I'm not setting a date. I'm just saying, lift up your heads, because redemption's drawing nigh. It's drawing nigh. God's timetable is moving along. And he has us on earth here for, as it says in the book of Esther, for such a time as this. Wow, what an opportunity. I think I said this on Sunday. What an opportunity to live in 2022, to be God's ambassadors in this day and age to this lost and wicked world. Our full redemption, again, is drawing nigh. There's no doubt about it. And so what must be done for Jesus must be done, N-O-W, now. Right now. We don't know how much longer we have to make a difference in people's lives. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse number 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He says, while there's still daylight in that sense of his life, being on earth, I'm going to do all that the Father wants me to do, because the night's coming where I'm going to be taken back to heaven. I'm going to have accomplished his will here on earth. And so I must be busy about my Father's will. Again, we know this verse, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The idea, they're buying up every opportunity. Don't miss any opportunity. Seize every opportunity to make a difference for Christ, because the days are evil. Here's another verse, James 4:14. James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. And we understand what that is here in northern Illinois, right? In the wintertime, that you breathe that cold air in and out, and it's that little puff of smoke. It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'll give you this story here, because you know how some things in your life are like, you can still just remember, like they're embedded in your mind. I have a couple of those instances in this, that go along with this particular thought. I remember so clearly, again, I don't know why, it's just I can still see myself sitting there as I just finished my freshman year of high school there at Rockford Baptist, and I remember sitting in that graduation service, and I remember watching those seniors walk across the stage. I can still see it in my mind, that class. And I remember thinking to myself, 3 more years. It's going to be forever. 3 years came, went, graduated. It was just like that. Same experience in college. I sat in the overflow section. I couldn't sit with all the parents that were there and grandparents and things. So we freshmen sat in the overflow section. I can see myself sitting there watching on the screen there at Ambassador as those seniors walked across the stage. I thought, 3 more years. It's going to be forever. And it came and it went just like that. My wife and I just celebrated our 10-year anniversary just last month. And a decade, where is it? And there's a lot of senior saints here tonight, and I've always heard, and I'm starting to learn, I've always heard that the older you get, the faster it flies. Can anyone testify to that? All right? I'm learning that. I'm a relatively young guy. I'm 33 years old. I'm a relatively young guy still. But I'm looking back and saying, wow, all my 20s just went like that, and I'm approaching midway in the 30s, and what am I saying? I'm saying that your life is but a vapor, and all of us know that in our heads, right? We've been in church for a Tuesday night group. We've been in church for a long time. We know that in our heads, but does it make a difference in how you live every day? Is there any more urgency to say, man, God laid that person on my heart. I still haven't reached out to them. I witnessed to them quite a while ago, but man, I need to do it again. And is there any urgency? Is there any realizing that if the hour is late, opportunities must be seized now to speak a word for Christ? None of us are guaranteed of tomorrow. Nobody. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. None of us are guaranteed of tomorrow. Someone once said this. They said, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. I only have this day to live for Christ. That ought to be our mindset. Yesterday's gone. Forget about past failures and past victories, by the way. All right, praise God for past victories. I'm not saying you should forget about them, but don't in that sense just live in the glory days in the past, right? Well, God is, well, I'm thankful for all that God's done. But what's God doing now? What does God still want to do in your life and through your life as a witness in 2022? See, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Every day that you wake up, say, God, thank you for giving me today. If God gives us tomorrow, Wednesday morning, April 6, 2022, God, thank you for giving me today. I have this day to live for Jesus. And wherever I go, I want to seize the opportunity to give out a gospel tract, to say a word, to say, there have been so many times, again, I'm just being transparent, so many times that God has convicted me. I'll see somebody, you know, I live on the west side of Rockford, all right? And so I drive West State all the time to get to the other side of town. I see people all the time just walking around, you know, sitting down. And God's, hey, go talk to that person. And it's always, I got this to do. I'm just being transparent with you. God has convicted me so many times. Now, praise the Lord, by his glory, there have been times that I have stopped and I have talked. But I'll tell you this, not as many as I want. Not as many as I want. And the same for all of us. Seize every opportunity. Your life's not your own. Forget about what you got to do with that. Unless it's an emergency, all right? It can be put off a little bit for the eternal soul of someone. Just to stop and just to give a word of testimony. Say, hey, I'm a Christian. Maybe if you have a $5 bill in your pocket, I want to be a blessing to you today. Can I tell you about Jesus, how he loves you? All of us can do that. One more thing, and I'm done. The heart of our Lord, the harvest of the lost, the hour is late. And what's the last reason? Because hell is looming. Because hell is looming. I don't enjoy preaching on hell. I've never met a preacher worth his weight in salt that does. If anybody does, I kind of question their heart. I'd rather not preach on hell. But can I say it's still in the Bible? And it is still the awful reality awaiting everyone that rejects Jesus. Christian, do we view everyone around us with an eternal spirit that's either destined for heaven or hell? That's the only two options. Everyone that you see is either destined for heaven or for hell. Is it constantly on our minds the horrendous fate that our unsaved loved ones and neighbors and friends will have if they continue on without Jesus? Is that continually, daily impressed upon our minds? Again, just being transparent tonight, many, many times when the Spirit of God has convicted my heart and said, Will, you're not where you need to be. You're a little bit lukewarm in this area. I will often make this my prayer. I will pray these last two points. I'll often say, God, please impress upon me today the urgency of the hour and the reality of hell. May it not leave me. The urgency of the hour and the reality of hell. Again, Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that's an important point. I address this in my little booklet because I know a lot of lost people will say, well, if God is so loving, how could he send somebody to hell? Understand, hell was not created for mankind originally. It was not created for mankind. The Bible says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Again, and I like to, if people will say that to me, I'll say, do you understand, again, that God loves you so much that he provided the only way out of that hell through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's still in the word. Now understand tonight. All right, I'm almost done. Everyone in hell is there because of his own sin and rejection of Christ. Understand that. But can I say this in a kind way? Surely an indifferent and a non-witnessing church or a non-witnessing individual cannot escape at least part of the blame and the multitudes that will be there. God forgive us, all of us. God forgive us of the blood on our hands when we have not opened our mouths with boldness and with Christ's compassion. Charles Spurgeon, great prince of preachers, he was called pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle there in London for years. I love this quote. I told you, I think on Sunday, I'm a quote guy. I'm always writing down quotes, and I love this quote. This is such a convicting quote to me. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for." And let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. I love that imagery. He says, if people are going to go to hell, they're going to go to hell over my dead body. They're going to go to hell with my arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. Friends, can I ask you tonight, are you faithfully fishing? Are we faithfully fishing? Again, I'm not asking how many souls you've caught. Are you even active? Are you active in sharing your faith and giving a word of testimony? It is our responsibility, it is our privilege, can I say, our privilege to cooperate with Almighty God in the redemption of mankind. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know what that tells me? Of course, if you read the book of Proverbs, it's a contrast book, right? It's all these contrasts with the wise man, the foolish man. It tells me that he that doesn't win souls, or at least he that makes no attempt to win souls, is unwise. It's not wise. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, we urge you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're an ambassador. If you're a believer tonight, you're an ambassador. The question is, what type of ambassador? What type of representative? Do others see the love of God, the joy of God, the compassion of God, the concern in your life? John R. Rice wrote these words many, many years ago. It's been a challenge to me. So little time the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest. And hope he'll smile and that he'll say, well done. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded. How often did I fail to strictly warn? The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus. But the grain is fallen, lost ones not reborn. Today we reap or we miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. If you're not faithfully fishing, if I'm not faithfully fishing, then we are not following Jesus. Again, to the extent you may be following him, obedient to him in some areas, to the extent that he desires, and praise God that he will enable us as we yield to him. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for these dear folks that are here. Lord, I pray again that you would rekindle a flame in our hearts for the lost that are around us. Lord, if we are wanting revival, wanting to experience your life within us once again, Lord, that's going to look a certain way. And one of those ways it's going to look is that we will have a passion, a consuming passion for the souls of men. Please, Lord, would you rekindle that flame in our hearts tonight? Now, heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for your attention so much tonight. Thank you for your attention. The pianist is going to come and start softly playing a song of invitation. Is there somebody here? I didn't preach on this, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask this. Is there somebody here that would say, I have no idea what you're talking about?